Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 24. The Bible says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus, for the word of God. Amen. Now, I know that was tongues that I just read there. You know, the King James, that's how it is. So I want to read it in an easier version, then we'll understand it a bit better. Amen. I'm reading from the Message Bible, the same verses. It says, "I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into." Right, the kids are a bit loud. If you, those at the back, please help me to keep them quiet. Amen. I'll start again. "I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into in this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on. I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of that suffering. When I became a servant in this church, I experienced this suffering as a sheer gift, God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth." Verse 26. "This mystery has been kept in dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing." Hallelujah. So Paul says that there's a mystery that has been there for many, many years. A mystery. A mystery is a hidden truth. A mystery is something that is difficult to understand. Some people, when they do maths is a mystery. No matter how much they study, the thing is just a secret that does not want to reveal itself. If you're a student, any subject you are struggling with, may God bring light in Jesus' name. May you begin to understand this year in Jesus' name. Those of you who are in business, your business has been standstill. This year, may God give you a revelation of how to take your business from where it is to where you dream it will be. Amen. There are no business people in this church. The amens are very tired. Church is about receiving. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Your amens are causing me to off-ramp from my message. When God called Moses, he said, "What do you have on your hand?" And Moses said, "I've got a stick." And God used the stick mightily. Do you understand? But that was not God's will. Those who came for the praying and fasting, I explained what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will. God was forced to use the stick. He doesn't work with sticks. He doesn't work by sticks. After Moses died, there's one thing that God caused Moses to do in his lifetime that is important. He caused him to write what we know today as the law, which today we know as the word of God. When Moses died, God said to Joshua, I'm tired of sticks. By the way, I don't even use sticks. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day in, therein, day and night. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God's power, God's glory is in his word. So if I say you are blessed, I've just released the word. And that word just goes into the church. If nobody catches it, it comes back. Are you listening to me? The power of God is in his word. So learn to receive it when it is released. Don't allow it to fall to the ground. Hallelujah. Let's practice. Hallelujah. It's getting better. Yeah. So there was a mystery that was there for many, many years. Even prophets couldn't understand it. Then Paul continues to say, this mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time. But now it's open, it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out. Regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the mystery in a nutshell is this: Christ in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. Now, the mystery, the hidden secret over the years was that Christ one day will be in every human being that receives him as the Son of God. In those days, it was a mystery that nobody could understand because God's people were the Jewish nation. We were labeled as heathen and Gentiles. And it was true. Our ancestors, they were worshipping cows and what have you. In India, they worship elephants, rats. There's an area in India where you don't kill a rat because it is believed that when you die, you become a rat. So people couldn't believe that these rat-worshipping people, this cow-worshipping people, this tree-worshipping people. One day somebody went to a village somewhere and he wanted to relieve himself. Number one, do you understand? No, not two, one. So he saw a tree and he went and started relieving himself in a tree. Then people started shouting, hey, what's on, what's on? And they wanted to beat him. And the guy was surprised, what's going on? And they said, you are weaving on our God. Every story I tell is a true story. Some people worship trees. Some people worship crocodiles. Some people worship lions. Some people worship the sun. Some people worship the moon. All sorts of things that is worshipable, somebody will worship it. So it was a mystery that these people can one day have Christ living in them. It was something they couldn't understand. So the Apostle Paul said that this is my mission on the earth, to reveal the word of God. That Christ can be in you, can be in you, can be in you, can be in you. regardless whether you are male or female, whether you are black or white, regardless of what language you speak, where you come from, it means nothing. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God who came to this earth to die for our sins so that we will not perish and have everlasting life, if you can believe that truth, then Christ enters you and begins to live in you. These amens are not blessing me. Can you believe that was a mystery? You know, as I say it now, it's but obvious, Pastor, obvious. But it used to be a mystery. It wasn't as obvious as it is today. The Bible tells us of an Ethiopian who traveled from Ethiopia, which, if I'm not mistaken, is somewhere in Western Africa. Traveled from Ethiopia to Israel. So it means he had to go through Egypt and turn right there into Israel, many, many kilometers. And when he got there, the Jewish people were worshiping in the temple. And because he was not Jewish, he couldn't enter, because only Jews were allowed to enter God's house. And so he worshiped God from outside. When they were singing, my kalegimi vusele, he'll be listening. What are they singing now? My kalegimi. I said, then from outside, he'll be worshiping. My kalegimi vusele. What's the other part? Si vusele. We thank God for his mercies. We thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That now we are equals now. Amen. Now there's no more Jew, there's no more Greek, there's no more. Now we are children of God. Amen. By his grace and mercies. We don't have to worship from outside anymore. Amen. Now we can enter his glory. Amen. Now we can partake, share in that glory. Hallelujah. Someone say, Christ is in me. Somebody say, Christ is living in me. Somebody say, I'm a child of God. And nobody can take that away from me. In Jesus' mighty name. Yeah. It used to be rough. This Ethiopian, after some time of worshiping alone, when they were preaching from outside, you can't hear properly. Those days, there were no mics. He was longing for the word of God. He was longing for the truths that are in the Bible. Standing outside and just watching. And perhaps, maybe the pastor will shout and he will catch one or two words. As he was on his way home, there was a certain guy whose name was Philip, who was preaching in a mighty mega crusade. Miracles were happening. Sangomas were coming to Christ. And as the power of God was moving over that city, God said, wait a minute. Stop right there. I need you to go somewhere else. God took him from that city in a glorious way. The Bible says he just disappeared. And he appeared in front of the vehicle of this Ethiopian man. God left he removed him from the crusade because he was touched by this Ethiopian man. When he stood in front of his, you know, vehicle, those days the vehicles were pulled by horses, a cart. Garikan, Barki Garikan, in Zul, in Amakalish. Paul, the Lord brought him there. When he got there, he saw this Ethiopian reading the Bible, and he was reading Isaiah chapter 53. And he was reading and reading and reading.
And then Philip went and asked him, said, do you understand what you are reading? The guy said, I don't have anybody to explain to me. He didn't even understand, but he was reading. And he was reading. And he was reading. So then Philip told him that what you are reading about there is a man called Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And he began to explain that he came to the world to die for your sins. And he began to explain to him that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Hallelujah. The man got born again right there. When Philip was about to go, he said, wait a minute, I heard about baptism. Can't you baptize me now? This man was hungry for God. And so Philip baptized him into Christ. And he became one of the first few people who are not Jews to have Christ living in him. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. As I speak to you, that man is probably in heaven. When I began my preaching, God maybe probably called him and said, hey, they are talking about you today. A great price has been paid for you so that you can have Christ living in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to the living God. Now, what does it mean to have Christ living in you? I'm going to give you a few points, then we are going to close. Close. Hallelujah. Number one, it means that Christ is literally living in you by the Holy Spirit. Christ is literally, like, he is in you for real. Not that it's a symbolic thing. It's real. Christ is in you. Hey, okay, man, let me preach this side. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Do you understand what is literal? Like, it's for real. It's not like a figurative thing. It's real. Amen. Like, okay, so Christ is in you for real. Need him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Amen. So, God Himself is in you. Amen. Imagine how mind-boggling that is. That God is in you. Amen. He's in you. Amen. Not that He's going to be in you. Amen. He's already in you. Living in your heart. Amen. When you are asleep, he's there. Amen. When you wake up, he's there in you. Amen. As you are going about your day, he's there. Amen. When you are worshiping him, he's there. Amen. He is forever there, living in you. Amen. Okay? Amen. So what I need you to understand that is real. It's not that, you know, it's a
figurative.
That one. It's not that it's something that's going to happen in the future. Amen. The day you received him into your heart, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The moment you said those words in faith, he entered inside. Now, what I'm trying to explain to you, because you see, some smart guy or some smart lady will say, but Pastor, Jesus is in heaven. I know. That's why I said he's living in you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Hallelujah.
We were Romans chapter 8, I think that's where we were. Verse 9, are we there? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. That word dwell means to live. So the spirit of God lives in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the Bible says that the Spirit of God lives in you. And the Bible says that if you do not have the Spirit of God living in you, then you don't belong to Jesus. Do you understand? So for Christ to be in you, it means that he is in you through the Holy Spirit. Let's also read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 17. Quickly, I don't want to preach for too long today. Are we there? Now the Lord is that spirit. Someone say the Lord is that spirit. In other words, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they are one. So if the Holy Spirit is in you, it's the same as Jesus is in you. Someone say same thing. Same WhatsApp group. So Jesus is in you. Jesus is living in you. It's a truth. It's a fact. He's in you. He's in you. Isn't that amazing? May God bring that realization into our heart. That he is in our hearts continually. Many years ago, a certain prophet, he was married, but during the course of his marriage, he met another lady and started liking that lady. So they decided that our relationship now has been going long, it's time to go to the next level. If you understand, you understand. And on the day that they were supposed to go on the next level, an angel appeared and just walked with the prophet. Everywhere he went, he was just seeing this angel. And he got and went to that lady's house, and they were there, and the angel was there also, just there. And they started just fooling around, and the angel was there looking at them. Then the prophet said, I can't. I'm going back to my wife. Someone say, I'm going back to my wife. Hallelujah. Amen. So you don't have to see any angel. Jesus himself is inside.
Amen.
He's inside.
Amen.
So anytime you're about to, just remember, Ghana is in me. And just correct yourself quickly. Because he's not just watching, he's here. Here. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
He's in you. 24/7.
Amen.
365. Through the good times and the bad times.
Amen.
He is there.
Amen.
In you. Hallelujah. That's number one. Number two, what does it mean that Christ is in you? It means that he is being formed in you. He is being formed in you. I'll explain what that means. Come with me to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Somebody was telling me that, Pastor, you know, the other day I was about to sin. Then I heard your voice. Then I said, hey. It wasn't my voice. It was the Jesus living in you. Galatians
Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Are we there? The Bible says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. So Paul says that I travail in birth. In other words, he labored through prayer, through fasting, through teachings. And his labor was so that Christ can be formed in you. Amen. Amen. Now, in another version, in the Message Bible, it says, do you know how I feel right now? And will feel until Christ's life becomes visible in your life. So, when the Lord came into you, the day you got born again, everything else about you remained the same. If your favorite color was blue, even after Christ came in you, your favorite color is still blue. You understand? The only thing that changed that day was the condition of your heart. Your spirit awakened to the reality of God. That's why it's called born again. Your spirit came alive. Do you understand? But now, besides that, everything was the same. If you like to drink, you continue drinking. If you had bad friends, you continue with the bad friends. Everything else was the same, except for the fact that Christ is in you. But now, a process needs to begin to happen where now the Christ that is in you needs to start to be seen. Many Christians stop at the fact that he's in you and never continue the process where people start to see this Christ that is in you. For many Christians, Christ is not just in them, but Christ is hidden. Bamfihlile. They don't want him to be seen. You worship him in secret only. It's good, but you are doing it for wrong intentions. When you are with people, you do all kinds of foolishness. When you get home, you feel bad. Like you feel dirty. Oh God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. That's it. Because you know he's in you, but you are hiding him. Your other friends, they sin freely, free. Mahala on E. No problems. You sin, but when you get home, yakudla lento, yakudla. It's because of that Christ who's living in you. That's why you feel bad. Them, they don't have a Christ living in them, so they don't feel anything. They are ready again for the next thing tomorrow, and the next one the next day, and the next one. No problems, no issues. You do one little sin, ish. Lord have mercy. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus. So, him being in you means that a process has begun. Amen. Where now, he needs to become visible. Amen. Your children need to see the Christ in you. Amen. One day I was praying, my daughter was sleeping there, I was praying, and she woke up during the night, and she stood and she looked at me, and looked at me. Then she went back to sleep. I said, aha, I like it. I like it to know that my father is praying. I like it. So that she will know. Yeah. That this man has Christ in him. Amen. Even sometimes she'll put me in some trouble. She'll say, my dad will pray for you. She'll just tell people, my dad will pray for you. If at that time I don't feel any anointing at all.
But she knows that this man is a friend of Christ. Just on Thursday, I think it was, I was, you know, every now and then you just feel a burst of the presence of God. Eh? So I was just sitting, I just started feeling the anointing, and I just started speaking in tongues. And she said, "Oh, Daddy, me, I can't speak in tongues." I said, "Would you like to speak in tongues?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Okay. First thing, before you can speak in tongues, you have to receive Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior." I don't know if she understood, but I'm sowing seeds. And I said, "Do you know what that means?" She said, "No, I don't know what it means." I said that it means you have to believe that Jesus came to the earth to die for your sins. I said, "Do you know what are sins?" She said, "I don't know what are sins." I said, "Sins are wrong things that you do." I said to her, "If you do something wrong, God's going to punish you. But God doesn't want to punish you. So God sent Jesus. So that the punishment that is supposed to go to you, Jesus is suffering it for you." She said, "Oh." I said, "Do you want to be born again?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Say this prayer after me. Say, 'Lord Jesus.'" And she said, "Lord Jesus, I believe." And I led her to Christ nicely. Nicely. Very nice. You see, that Christ that is in me is being visible to my daughter. I'm making him visible. Visible. So God also wants you to make Christ visible. Don't hide him. Don't hide him. Allow him to be seen. Let your children see him. Let your friends see him. Let your family members see him. Let your fellow brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ see him. At all times. He must be seen. He must be seen. He must be seen. In how you talk, let Christ be seen. Where I used to work one time, when I was resigning, they asked me, why have you resigned? I said, "I'm a pastor, so I'm now going to do pastoring full time." They said, "But I could see there's something about you." They were seeing the Christ. They were seeing him. They were seeing the Christ. Somebody say, may Jesus be seen in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. In another version, it says, that Christ's nature, someone say nature, must be seen. Now, what is nature? Nature is character. In other words, the character of the one who is in you must be displayed. Not your character. Mina mfundisi ngivele ngkwade. Uma sengkwatile akekho ngangikhulumisa. Yeah, that's your character. That's your name. I'm talking about the Jesus one who is living in you. That one must be seen. Pastor, if someone offends me once, it's okay. If they offend me two times, it's okay. But at three times, they will know who I am. Yeah, that's you. We are not talking about you. We are talking about Jesus. Tell him, never say we are talking about Jesus. So what is the nature and character of Christ? So that it can begin to be exposed. Number one. I'm almost finished. The Lord Jesus Christ was an ardent reader of scriptures from his young age.
ardent. Ardent is A-R-D-E-N-T. Ardent means passionate. He was passionately reading the scriptures from a young age. From the age of 12, Godfrey. He was already in the scriptures. Hallelujah. I'm telling you about the characteristics of Christ. From when he was a young boy, he was into the scriptures. Into. He was not browsing them. He was into. Come with me to the book of Luke quickly. Is my time up? Luke chapter 2. Let's take it from verse 40. I'm going to read it fast. Luke chapter 2 from verse 40. Are you there? And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. It's talking about Jesus. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, Jesus' family was living in Canaan at the time. Or Galilee, if I'm not mistaken. That man of Galilee, he must have been from Galilee. And the Bible says, as their custom was, in other words, annually, they would go to Jerusalem for one of the feasts that would take place there. And when the feast was finished, now the family was going back home. They traveled, the Bible says, a day's journey. If they say they left in the morning, they traveled until night. And they didn't realize that Jesus was not with them, because they thought he was with the other kids and so on and so forth. They looked and they looked and they looked and he wasn't there. Then they decided, let's go back to Jerusalem. So it took them a day to reach where they realize he's not there. And it will also take them a day to go back to Jerusalem. Do you understand? So now it's 2 days. Let's see what happens. What happened? Verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, how many days? They found him in the temple. What would you expect him to be doing? Crying. Where's my mommy? Where's my daddy? 3 days without seeing your parents. What did he eat for those 3 days? A normal child would have been crying, worried, panicking, scared. But let's look at this one who is living in you. It says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. A doctor is someone who has a PhD, went to school for 12 years. After the 12 years, they did another 7 years. He's sitting with them, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. The doctors who had studied for years were being amazed at the 12-year-old boy. He was passionate about the scriptures. He read, he searched, he researched. part and parcel of who he is. One day he went to church, and the Bible says he went there as his custom was. And the Bible says that that day they were reading the book of Isaiah. Not that, you know, it was like announced that we are going to read. He just arrived there, and that's what they were reading. And the Bible says he came and he opened the Bible. Now, the Bibles in those days were not like our Bibles. You see, our Bibles have been broken up. Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2. Those days, it was just one chapter. And verses only. No referencing. So the guy had read it so much. He knew exactly where to find what he wants. And he opened it and began to read it to them. And he said, today, this is fulfilled in your life, in your hearing. In other words, what you are reading is me. Now that person is living in you.
Amen.
Now, if he is to, his nature and character is to be exposed, it means that you would be passionate about the scripture. You sit and read. And read and research and get another Bible and check and cross check and make notes and think about it. Sometimes I get my revelations when I'm sitting in the toilet. Borrow me this chair, please. I'll be sitting in the, you see, when you sit in the toilet, it can only be one thing that you are doing. It hits me. I'll finish up quickly, run to my Bible. That thing that hit me while I was doing other business there. Yeah. Okay, happiness. I'll go wash my hands. And rush to my Bible. Sometimes I'll be bathing and it will hit me. And I'll rush to my Bible. We're passionate about the thing. We love it. The nature of Christ is that of a person who loves the scriptures. In fact, his name, do you know his name? Is the Word of God. That's his name. Jesus is just a new name that he recently received. But his real name is the Word of God.
Amen.
May that one who lives in you begin to manifest.
Amen.
May his character begin to manifest.
Amen.
May you become a reader, ardent,
amen,
passionate.
Amen.
Enjoy it. When I started reading the Bible, to my shock, I read it from cover to cover. I started in Genesis. In a few months, I was in Revelation. I was reading every day. Just two. Reading every day. That's why many of you, when we start the scriptures, you are bored. You are bored. Because you only know John 3:16. You've never taken the time to see what is happening in Genesis, in Exodus, in Numbers, and so on and so forth to Malachi. You've never taken it from the book of Matthew and gone with it and read about the Acts of the Apostles. You haven't taken the time. So everything, when we speak, it just... You can't see anything. It's just moving past you. But you'll be surprised that if you take your time and read and read and read, when we sit down with you, you'll start contributing. You'll start enjoying. This thing is actually nice. The reason you are bored is because you are hiding and suppressing that Christ. I say, it's about me, Lord Jesus. I only need you when I'm sick. Then you can come out. Yeah, it's wrong. I only need you when I want a job. Then Jesus, you can come out. Then people need to see you now because I need a job. And you even threaten God. Jesus, if you don't come out, I'm going to a sangom. If you don't come out, I'm going to Mam Senelit. You don't like what I'm saying? May that Jesus who lives in you begin to have expression in your life. There's so many character traits I'm going to give you, but because of time, I think we're going to stop here today. If you don't have a Bible, instead of buying Sparkle this week, go buy a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, instead of doing a fancy hairstyle this month, just do your own hair just for this month. Tell your neighbor, just for this month. Yeah. And get yourself a Bible that will help you for the rest of your life. You understand? Start reading it. Start enjoying it. Hallelujah. My time is up. I don't want to stop. I don't know what to do with myself. Let's rise to our feet. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.